Part 2. In this part, you will hear 3 short talks. After each talk, you will hear 6 questions about it. Before each talk begins, you will have time to preview the questions. You will hear each talk and the questions once. You can take notes if you wish. Choose the correct answer, A, B, C, or D. Now you will hear the first talk. Look at the questions. Listen to someone talking about an environmental project.
Good afternoon. Today, I'm going to tackle a topic that is threatening survival on our planet, the lack of fresh water. A serious problem compounded by the drought caused by climate change and the increasing demand for food in water-stressed areas. So we at Seawater Solutions thought, what if there was a way to feed the world without adding to the strain on our water supply? And that's how we decided to harness the power of seawater and sunlight to grow food in the middle of the desert. In our most recent project in arid, sun-baked Somaliland, we have established solar-powered greenhouses which, through an innovative method of desalination, create ideal growing conditions. In this project, advances in our greenhouse modeling techniques have allowed us to simplify the design and drastically reduce its cost without sacrificing performance. Let me explain briefly how our system is made more cost-effective. As plants grow inside the greenhouses, they evaporate water through their leaves and flowers in a process called transpiration. Plants lose more water rapidly in hot, dry conditions. So, we need a cooler, moist microclimate so that plants will require less fresh water and less irrigation, thereby reducing water usage and overall costs. To this end, we used adapted pad and fan technology. Fans push air through seawater-soaked pads, layers of corrugated card hung vertically, producing a vapor that adds moisture to the greenhouse and drops the temperature by around 15 degrees Celsius. As the seawater is pushed through the pad, the salt is separated from the fresh water, and this high salinity water, called brine, is used to cool the greenhouse. Actually, brine is more suitable for creating this evaporative cooling effect because it has both a higher boiling point and lower freezing point than pure water. So, in Somaliland, which lies in the center of one of the world's most food-insecure regions, our greenhouses are already producing their first crops. Isn't that amazing?
Number 21. What does the speaker probably do? Number 22. What does the speaker say about the lack of fresh water? Number 23. What is not true about the greenhouses in this project? Number 24. What is transpiration? Number 25. Why is pad and fan technology used? Number 26. What does the speaker say about Brian? Now you will hear the second talk. Look at the questions. Listen to a marketing consultant talking about businesses.
Hello. In this morning's talk, I'm going to concentrate on business systems. In particular, I'm going to talk about why copying successful firms doesn't always work the way planned. One straightforward reason why imitation is not always a profitable and efficient strategy for entrepreneurs to use is a process called reverse causality. This means that quite often successful practices are the consequences of a firm's success rather than the cause. Take firm size, for example. Successful firms grow and become big, but making yourself bigger just for the sake of it is not necessarily going to make you more successful. Another reason why imitating successful competitors may be ineffective is because you cannot imitate luck. The truth is that we have a tendency to exaggerate the merits of managers' deliberate decisions on a firm's performance and play down the role of chance. It goes without saying that the imitation without understanding the context of the product or service does not work. When businesses try to copy successful practices, they must take into account necessary adjustments to the key environmental peculiarities that vary between the model and the imitator. Strategies that businesses borrow from various successful competitors must not have inherent conflicts with one another. Suppose you want to boost sales of your products. You know that one of your competitors has managed to do that by designing their products better, while another by becoming a low-cost producer. Both strategies sound great, but are they applicable at the same time? And keep in mind these two things. Don't only focus on the practices of top-performing companies, but also analyze what the industry's bottom performers are doing. If they are doing the same things, they might not represent good advice after all. And don't follow the grab-bag approach and assume that it will lead to success. Imitation is fine, provided you think about how to adapt it to your situation.
Number 27. What is the topic of this talk? Number 28. Why does the speaker mention firm size? Number 29. What does the speaker say about luck? Number 30. When must businesses adjust the strategies they copy? Number 31. Which word can describe effective strategies for firms to copy? Number 32. What does the speaker mean with the phrase?
Don't follow the grab bag approach.
Now you will hear the third talk. Look at the questions. Listen to a college graduate making the valedictorian speech.
Let me start by saying that I'm very proud to be addressing you on our graduation day, a day that all of my fellow graduates have all been looking forward after the strain of the last 2 months with final tests, credits and exams, time-consuming graduation thesis, not to mention the nerve-wracking presentation. Joyful though this day is, I want you all to take a good look at your fellow students and tutors, because from now on life will scatter us around the world and most of us will meet only at alumni parties. I can still remember our first lectures as freshmen, when we were all enthusiastic, nervous, and uncertain, with fingers too stiff from a long, idle vacation time to take down notes. Soon, we realized that we could no longer expect to be spoon-fed in the classroom like in high school, and stress levels began to rise. At the end of our freshman year, we had learned the merit of putting in the hours. But it was totally worth it. I am graduating with a feeling of deep satisfaction. I was rewarded for my efforts, not just with an MBA, but with skills, knowledge, and invaluable experience. The most valuable lesson we learned in this college is to never let self-doubt stand in the way of an open door. I was more than fortunate to have lecturers who helped me along the way. Somehow, in one way or the other, they always knew how to bring out the best in us. I would like to extend my gratitude to the members of the Career Development Center who helped us with our resumes, practiced mock interviews, and recommended us for our first internship. Graduates, it is about that time when we throw up our hats, say farewell to this college to embrace new challenges, achieve greater success, and make a difference in our community.
Number 33. What does the speaker say about the graduate's future? Number 34. Which freshman feeling does the speaker not mention? Number 35. What does the speaker mean when she says,
putting in the hours?
Number 36. What does the speaker say about her lecturers? Number 37. What is the most precious lesson she learned at the college? Number 38. What did the Career Development Center not do for the students? End of part 2.